Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day, that you've called us together that we might worship you. And we thank you especially for the gift of your holy word. And we pray, O Lord, this day that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. In this morning's gospel lesson, we hear that the disciples have come back from their first missionary adventure. They had been sent off two by two to go out into the towns and to heal and to chase out demons and to teach that the kingdom of God was right around the corner. And now they've come back and they're all excited to share the news with Jesus about what they've done. But before they get very far into the telling of their stories, Jesus recognizes how tired they are. In fact, Jesus recognizes how tired he is. For the scripture tells us that the crowds have been so great and the crowds have been surrounding them so much that they haven't even had time for leisure to eat. So Jesus suggests that they go on a retreat, that they go off to a deserted and quiet place so they might get that needed rest and renewal, that they might be regrouped and re-energized for the work ahead. But as we heard in the scripture, it's not very long before the crowd see where Jesus is going. And even before the boat arrives in that deserted and quiet place, people are there seeking out Jesus, seeking out that gentle healer, seeking out that person that can care for their needs. Have you ever felt the need to rest? How many of you have felt the need to rest? How many of you have felt the need to just get away from it all and to have a retreat? We all need rest. We all need rest. Sometimes we need it more than at other times. Sometimes we just need more sleep. Sometimes we just need solitude. Sometimes we just need to get away from the press of people so that we have an opportunity to be quiet and to be with God. Jesus knew the disciples needed that. Jesus knew how much they needed rest, how much they needed that time away. I've just come back from a vacation, and you would think that I was well rested. But it's been my experience, although I've not been wise enough to do this, that I should take 2 days off when I come back to regroup from my vacation. My vacation was with two of I did see my whole extended family because it was Lainey's first birthday, my granddaughters. But Lainey has a brother who's 5 and a half. How many of you know how active 5 and a halves are? Liam thought it would be great to wake Grandma up every morning, usually before 6 a.m. And Liam doesn't stop talking from the moment he gets up until the time he goes to bed. He's just 5 and a half. So I came home needing a vacation. So I understand the need for rest, as I'm sure all of you do. Regardless of how busy we are, regardless of how much life demands of us, regardless of how much ministry asks of us, we all need to be careful to balance work and rest, to take that needed Sabbath time that Jesus talks about so that we can have that time to regenerate, to renew, to be restored, to be in touch with God for the work that's ahead. But if you listen closely to that scripture, it seems that for Jesus there truly is no rest. There is no rest for the Son of God. The crowds play havoc with his plans for some R&R. Jesus and the disciples could have been frustrated by the crowd's interruption. But Mark's gospel tells us clearly that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes we misunderstand compassion as pity. Pity is something that we can do when we see people at a distance and we're concerned about them, but you don't need to get face to face with people if you only have pity. Compassion literally means to suffer with. And in the Greek, it means it actually means a churning in the gut. Compassion means a churning in the gut. You're that concerned about the needs of someone that your insides are all stirred up. Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He knew what they needed. He knew that they were like those who needed direction. They were lost and wandering. They were afflicted. And I wonder today, as we look at the world around us, who are the sheep without a shepherd? Who are the sheep that need that shepherding? Now, I struggled this week to make a list because the usual categories were on my list. Those who are battling disease and illness, they need the care of a shepherd. Those who are mourning need the shepherd's comfort. Those who are afflicted in other ways with loss need to know the care of a shepherd. And all of us would put ourselves on that list, for all of us need a shepherd as well. But I was thinking even deeper about who are those in our midst. Not the usual suspects, but who are those in our midst who really need to have the shepherd's gentle care. I was fussing about this list. I made several lists. I threw them out, kept making new lists, kept thinking about, I'm missing somebody. I'm missing the real gist of what Jesus was saying when he looked at that crowd and he saw a sheep that needed a shepherd. So as I was fussing about this list, it was Friday morning, getting close to sermon time, Friday morning. And Friday morning, I had set my alarm early so that I could be over here in time for breakfast with the volunteers in mission. I did not want to be late because the group would just tease you unmercifully if you're late, so I needed to be early. So my clock radio went off to a song. And that song was a surprising inspiration for the list of who needs the shepherd. Now, I am often surprised about the places that God sends inspiration to me from. Now, I will apologize ahead of time for any of you that do not like the genre of country music, so I'll just put that out here. But it's a song that was popular probably 2 years ago by Keith Urban, and I put the lyrics in your bulletin this morning. And I'd like you to just kind of think about the lyrics of this song and think about sheep without a shepherd. If you listen closely, and if you read along in the lyrics, think about sheep without a shepherd. Just another rebel in the great wide open on the boulevard of broken dreams. Those who are lonely, those who are isolated, those who are living desperate lives longing for the good old days, those who are disillusioned, finding comfort in sex, drugs, and rock and roll, a lost generation and perhaps two generations, sheep truly in need of a shepherd. I hope that you caught at the center of that song this acknowledgement. This acknowledgement. I underlined it on your lyrics so you wouldn't miss it. I spent a lot of years running from believing, looking for another way to save my soul. The longer I live, the more I see it. There's only one way home. There's only one way home. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. John 3:16. John 3:16. We need to be the church that offers comfort to the sheep that are without a shepherd. How does the church today show compassion on all those sheep? Does our compassion look more like pity than mercy? Does our heart ache for them? Do our insides churn as we see their needs? What do we do when we are bombarded by so much need that truly is all around us? I think the church is called to stop, to notice, to listen, to help one person at a time, doing whatever we can to show and share the love of Christ. To stop, to notice, to listen. The epistle that Phil read is about the power of God in Jesus Christ to break down dividing walls. Christ truly breaks down the dividing walls that separate us from one another. In that scripture, Paul contrasts life before Christ and life with Christ. He's talking to the Gentiles who have not always been well received by the Jews. And the Gentiles, he says, now with Christ, with those walls broken down, they're part of a new household. They're part of a new reality. There is a new community. Before, those Gentiles were alienated and estranged. They were rootless and isolated. They were people in despair with no hope. Paul says that they were strangers to the covenant of the promise. Truly, they were sheep without a shepherd. But now with Christ, they are no longer outsiders. They are part of a new humanity. This dramatic reversal is only possible because what God has done in Jesus Christ, breaking down the walls that divide us, calling us into this new reality, this new family, a new sense of community. Hear how Eugene Peterson translates part of this passage. Now, because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jews outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall he used to keep each other at a distance. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. This week, many of us were part of our volunteers and mission efforts, either in the kitchen, for devotions, or out working with the families. We were doing whatever we could to show compassion to those in need, to attempt to care for their needs, and to foster new friendships and relationships, breaking down any walls that might seem to separate us. And that happens person to person, family to family, as we strive to represent Christ to the community. It happens when we stop, when we notice, and when we listen. We break down those walls. Today, we wanted to share with you some of what the volunteers and missions did this week. And we, Steve Godfrey, has put together a slideshow that helps us to see the work we did and the families we met, the new community we developed. And so we thought the whole church should see these slides. Thank you, Steve. It really was a wonderful week and an opportunity for us to be the church beyond the walls of our sanctuary, and to show the world Christ, to break down those barriers. And I believe that's what the Church of Christ is called to do and called to be, to have compassion on the sheep who need the shepherd, and to do all that we can to show compassion to the world. Amen.